This is firefighter Raphael Poirier for Firehouse Subs. Introducing new Firehouse Pairs. Pair your favorite small sub with a signature side like the awesome 5 Cheese Mac and Cheese. And remember, a portion of every purchase at Firehouse Subs goes towards helping first responders. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Participating locations only. Firehouse Subs would donate a minimum of $1 million in 2019 to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation by donating 0.11% of every purchase. This is firefighter Raphael Poirier for Firehouse Subs. Introducing new Firehouse Pairs. Pair your favorite small sub with a signature side like the awesome 5 Cheese Mac and Cheese. And remember, a portion of every purchase at Firehouse Subs goes towards helping first responders. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Participating locations only. Firehouse Subs would donate a minimum of $1 million in 2019 to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation by donating 0.11% of every purchase.
Hi everyone, and welcome to Let's Talk Adults. My name is Glenn King, and I'm proud to bring you, as always, adult entertainment talk for the adult entertainment curious. And I have with me today a very special guest. She came right here to see me at the Mean Bitch Mansion. She's one of my closest friends in the world. She is the great Goddess Helly. Goddess Helly, everybody. So Goddess Helly is a former porn star who was known as Helly Hellfire. She has now moved on to a second career and maybe a third career. We're going to dig into all of that with her, find out a little bit about how she got in the industry, how she transitioned, and some of the other things that she's doing. So let's start right into it. Helly, you grew up in a foreign land, is that right?
Yes, I grew up. I was one of your neighbors to the north.
Mm-hmm. We know about you Canadians, always looking to take over America, always looking to sneak in over the borders, that kind of thing.
Exactly, yeah, we're always trying to get in through the back door.
Yeah, so, right. well said. All right, so when did you come to the United States?
I moved to Los Angeles from Toronto in January of 2005.
Ah, okay, which coincidentally is right about the time that you got into porn.
I was webcamming, mm-hmm. and actually I didn't get into porn until a few years later. I married an American in 2005 and didn't actually get into porn until we separated in 2010.
So, you got your start webcamming. Was that mm-hmm. on StreamAid or one of the other services?
My start webcamming was on Video Secrets.
Oh, yeah. Right. I love those guys.
Yeah, and then Flirt for Free.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. And what were you doing at the time? Was it just pretty much straight up, regular old, spread your legs and play with a vibrator? Or were you starting to get into some of the role-playing activities?
I actually got into doing the role-playing activities pretty quick. I had a natural ability to draw submissives and fetishists to me, even though I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know anything about BDSM at the time. But that was just, I think I was naturally born for it, and other people could sense it before I could.
There you go. Okay, so you were naturally drawn into it. You had big fake boobs, and a Pamela Anderson type look, which is extraordinary and beautiful, as you still are today.
Thank you.
Did you get the boobs put in before you got in the industry or after?
I had my first set of boobs put in when I was webcamming. You saw me the first time with my second set, and I put those in as soon as I started doing porn.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, so how did the jump happen? You know, you started doing camming, you got the big boobs, you had the hot look going. Then how did you decide to start doing porn?
I was DJing at the time, and I considered myself a DJ first and foremost, and I thought, well, what's a silver bullet to get me to the top of the industry as a DJ? And I'm like, how am I going to get some, you know, fame and notoriety? And I was like, okay, well, I'll just start doing porn. and it worked. It helped my DJ career take off, but I didn't expect that my porn career was going to take off too.
At some point down the road, you actually went on tour as a DJ with Brittany Andrews, right?
Yes. We toured together to Japan.
Nice.
For the Hacienda Festival.
How does a person learn to be a DJ?
I learned from this OG DJ producer who's been around in the LA scene since the 1970s and had a record shop on Melrose Avenue that's no longer there. And it was called Street Sounds. And I'm still close with this guy today. He's like an uncle to me, but I would go to his record shop every day. I lived right down the street in West Hollywood. And I would just practice for 4 or 5 hours a day.
Wow.
Under his guidance. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you really developed into something special as a DJ.
Yeah.
And do you still do DJing today whenever you can?
The last time I DJed was actually by accident on New Year's Eve. A house party I was throwing, we lost our DJ last minute.
Okay.
So
yeah.
I had to step up to the tables.
Yeah.
But before then, I hadn't DJed for close to 4 years. You know, when I retired from DJing, I sold my turntables.
How did it feel to get back on the bicycle then on New Year's Eve?
It was kind of fun. I needed a couple drinks first because I was a little nervous. But yeah, it was just like riding a bicycle. It was awesome, actually. But I don't know if I'd do it again. I did get offered to do a small side stage at EDC, Electric Daisy Carnival, out
wow,
here in Las
okay.
Vegas this summer.
Awesome. Yes.
Yeah. And the connection for that is actually a connection through the BDSM community. So.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're going to do it?
We'll see. I'm waiting to hear how much they're going to offer me to do it, because I apparently would have to show up at 9:30 in the morning, and I'm not a morning person.
Okay. So they better pay double your normal rate if they expect you to be getting up early in the morning.
And it is EDC. I mean, yeah, we'll see. I mean, that would be pretty prestigious to do it.
That's cool. Okay. All right. Well, getting back through your history here. So mm-hmm. you moved here from Canada, or you moved to the United States from Canada. You started webcamming for the different sites. Then you got into porn with the hopes of enhancing your brand as a DJ. What was it like doing porn sets for the first time then?
I think the first time I was on a proper porn shoot was for Naughty America. And I was nervous, and I forgot what, and you're supposed to bring 2 pieces of ID, and I only had 1 piece of ID, and I was just, I don't know, I didn't have the right wardrobe, so I kind of learned right away that, you know, it's not just show up and screw, so I had to put a little bit of effort into it, so, but it's, I learned quickly.
Well, what happened there? So your first agent was LA Direct, I believe. Is that correct or no?
No, my first agent was Shy Love at ATM LA.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
So they're supposed to give you your details. So what happened? Did you not pay attention to your details?
I didn't pay attention to my details. They didn't drop the ball. I did, so.
I gotcha.
Yeah, yeah.
And then what was it like, though, you know, with your... Okay, so first off, how did you pick your first agent?
I did a little research into the different agencies that are out there, and I thought ATM LA had the best website. And for my taste, I thought they had the prettiest, you know, the prettiest performers. So mm-hmm. I was like, I want to be part of them.
Okay, that's a good choice, yeah.
Yeah.
And then when you screwed up your first shoot like that, did Shy yell at you? Or
I didn't screw it up. They let me use like an additional, like a secondary form of ID. It was like a credit card or something like that.
That's good.
So, and then I just ended up shooting my scene in the street clothes that I rolled in with. But I, you know, I also had a background as a stripper. Mm-hmm. So I rolled in there with a bunch of stripper clothes. And it was supposed to be more of a girl next door look. So, yeah.
You know what? When you look like you do, we producers can forgive a lot of stuff like that. Because we know you're going to make us money. Is what that comes down to. So I'm sure they weren't too upset about it. So for all you producers that listen to the show, the 2257 laws don't really specifically require 2 IDs. They really only require 1 government-issued ID. But the reason everybody wants two is in case one of... First off, you never want to have somebody use a fake ID on you, so you get two of them makes it harder for people to fake. But also, sometimes stuff happens when you make a copy of an ID. You know, something gets blurred on it or whatever. Or you're taking pictures and the pictures don't come out or get blurred or you lose them. So two forms of IDs. It's just a backup. And some companies now require three forms of ID to have a backup to the backup.
Yeah.
All right. So that's what you did. You went to your first set at Naughty America. By the way, you're listening to Let's Talk Adult with Glenn King. And our guest today is Goddess Helly, whom you can find on Twitter as at...
Goddess Helly.
There you go. G-O-D-D-E-S-S-H-E-L-L-Y. All right. So you got on sets. Your agent started sending you all these great places. Yeah. What did you think? Were you feeling like this was, like, easy for you, or was it somewhat of a challenge and struggle?
No, actually, I really enjoyed it at first. I found that I took to it really quickly, and I was able to perform better than I thought. And I started getting a lot of bookings with Brazzers and Naughty and Hustler. And that was the year that I ended up doing the Saint Lady Gaga. And I got nominated for Best Actress in a Feature Film for Avian and X-Biz that year.
Wow, that's really cool. And what was the Lady Gaga thing?
Oh, it was a Hustler feature. Axel Braun did it, and it was called This Ain't Lady Gaga, XXX.
Wow, and you played Lady Gaga?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. So that's a huge thing in our industry, getting the lead in an Axel Braun film, but people have told us on this podcast that working on an Axel Braun set can be quite challenging.
The hours are very long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, give us an example of a day on an Axel Braun set.
I remember doing three scenes in one day. I had, like, three major wardrobe and makeup changes. I think I showed up on set at 9 o'clock in the morning, and I was there until 3:30 in the morning the next day.
Yeah, a lot of people have walked off Axel Braun sets. You know,
and it was 3 days in a row like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's kind of common. And, you know, this really isn't that uncommon for mainstream films. I've worked on a lot of mainstream sets before, and they do. They start really early, and they work very late in a lot of cases because they're trying to get through a lot of pages of dialogue in a short amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
But Axel is kind of famous for keeping people a long time and it just being a lot more challenging than a normal set. Axel, who is renowned as one of the great directors in the business, what did he do before each scene with you? Did he give you a speech about what he was looking for in the scene? Did he help you understand the dialogue?
Yeah, he did. He was really good that way. And also, I had to learn these parody songs. So, he would, take a few minutes out before the scene and play me this this song that he wrote and was sung to be like a Lady Gaga song. It was like a parody off of like Telephone. That's the one I remember. And I learned the lyrics, maybe 20 minutes before we shot the scene. And then I had to lip sync them on
time. You didn't actually sing.
And dance.
Why didn't you sing? What happened?
He had him pre-recorded with somebody's voice who sounded like Lady Gaga.
Oh, I see. That is a tough voice to do, sure. It's one thing to be a great singer, but to do Lady Gaga is pretty tough.
Yeah. So I did all the dance choreography for that movie.
And did he stay on set then and direct you, or what? Did he actually have an AD that did the cut action type stuff?
I honestly don't remember. Okay. It was a while ago.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was your first sort of run at things, but then you switched agents. I think you ended up at LA Direct, right?
Yeah, I was with ATM LA for about a year, and then I went over to LA Direct for 6 months, and...
That's when I booked you.
Yeah, that's when you booked me for my first proper femdom
right
site.
So, at this point, though... I'm guessing you had done some fetishes from webcam shows, mm-hmm. so it wasn't a total shock to you to get booked for a femdom scene.
No, and I was actually in a femdom relationship at the time, and I didn't even realize it. It had just kind of developed that way. But, you know, I look back on it now, and at the time, like, I had a live-in sub.
Okay, explain, please.
Yeah. So, I had a submissive boyfriend that I had living in my apartment. And we were very much engaged in a dom-sub relationship. And throughout the course of our relationship, I mean, he entered it, you know, looking very much like a man. Mm-hmm. And throughout the 2 years we were together, he morphed into a tranny.
Transgender.
More like a heavy cross-dresser.
Okay.
Yeah. So I ended the relationship. He was going out of the house dressed in a skirt and a scarf and little tank top, long hair and red lipstick and black eyeliner. He looked like a little tart leaving the house every day to go to work.
So you sissified your boyfriend.
I don't even know if I was trying. I think that maybe he just used me as an excuse to do what he'd been wanting to do all along.
I would grant you that if it weren't for the fact that we're now five boyfriends down the road, and all five of them have that same thing in common, where they ended up with, you know, a little bit of eyeshadow going on, some lipstick from time to time, some nails that are done.
I think I'm actually drawn to that look. I do really like the men in my life to have, you know, eyeliner and nail polish and smoky eye. But I want them to be all man, you know, at the same time, too. So I have a very, very particular type.
Right. Yeah. Wanted to be all man, but dressed like a woman. There's nothing wrong with that. You're
just a little, I like a little effeminate. Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty.
And how did that start with your first boyfriend there? Like, was it just one day that you asked him to throw on some eyeliner for you? Or?
You know what? He wasn't actually the first boyfriend that I threw eyeliner on. I think I've been doing that since I was 21.
Yeah.
But he was just sitting there one day watching me do my makeup, and I could see by the look in his eye that he was fascinated by the process.
Right.
And so I offered to put a little bit of clear mascara on his eyelashes to just bring them out. And he just lit up at the suggestion. And yeah.
Lovely. You know, and next thing you know, he's just one thing after another.
Next thing, he's like into my MAC makeup brushes, yeah. And he's got my red lipstick on and like my black eyeshadow. And I just, here, take the makeup. I'll go get myself some more, you know?
Yeah, so if you're a guy and you're at home and you have always secretly fantasized about being sissified, but you didn't know where to go, now I'm bringing you the lady that can help you with this. It's Goddess Helly. You're going to want to go check her out. Well, you can see, I think it's quite obvious to you, the listeners, how she evolved from a porn star into a dominatrix, since she sort of had it in her the whole time. So we're going to find out about that transformation. But first, I need to tell you about the greatness of Blue Chew, our sponsor here. Blue Chew is the world's first chewable pill, erectile dysfunction pill, that gives you the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. I personally use Blue Chew. Helly over here has a friend who personally uses Blue Chew and can attest to the greatness of Blue Chew. So on last week's podcast, we talked about how this week I was filming the fourth scene of my soon-to-be epic feature movie called Cock Queen. So this week we did it. We filmed the scene. It had Kimberly Chi. She was the maid. So the dad came home, the husband came home, and said, "Hey, wife, great news. I've hired a maid to help us out around the house." And then as soon as I left the room, the maid plopped down on the couch and started watching TV and told the wife, shut the fuck up. I would never actually clean up for someone like you who is old and pathetic and weak. And then told her that she could sense a lesbian when she sees one and knows that the wife was fantasizing immediately about kneeling before her. So she told the wife to kneel before her, and then she made the wife put on the maid outfit and clean the house while she fucked her husband in front of the wife. So, beautiful scene. I played, of course, the husband in the scene, and it was my money on the table, as always. Producing this scene, I hired a makeup artist, a crew. I hired female talent. I hired the cuck queen herself, whose rate keeps going up as she continues to develop new skills. So all this money's on the line, and it all revolves on one thing working right, and that is my ability to get an erection. And that's why I use Blue Chew. I took a Blue Chew the night before, and then I can always take another one the day of to get up to the doctors, what doctors recommend usually with Cialis, which is 10 milligrams. But I used it, and I performed like a champ, and you can do the same thing. It's chewable, so that means it gets into your system a lot faster than a regular pill would. You also do not have to go to your pharmacy to pick this up. You do not have to go through the embarrassment of standing in line and then having them yell really loud for you that, hey, did you need to talk about the side effects of Cialis that you probably need? So you don't have to go through all that with Blue Chew. You're just going to go to their website, which is www.bluechew.com. And you're going to type in a little box that I need help getting erections. And a doctor is going to review your little thing that you typed in, prescribe the pills for you, and then they're going to get sent right to your home in a discreet package. And then it tastes like Pez, like it's kind of a cherry flavor type thing. It's delicious. So let me make it a no-brainer for you. Try it out for free. That's right. Try it out for free. If you're a listener of the podcast, you get to go to the website. And then when you get to the checkout, you're going to enter the promo code ADULT, that's ADULT, and you're going to get some free, your first shipment for free. You do have to pay for the shipping, which is $5. So give that a try, though, and you will, then I want you to email me or Twitter me or something and let me know how great it worked out for you, because I have so many friends, so many people who have said they heard about this on the show and have tried it out and now believe that they are indebted to me for the rest of your life. So I want you to feel indebted to me for the rest of your life as well. So give that a try and then let me know how appreciative that you are. Blue Chew. All right, back to Goddess Helly over here, who was a porn star but then realized her true calling. What happened? How did you, what was the big thing for you that happened?
What happened? You know, I was at a Los Angeles Fetish Film Festival in the, I guess it was November of 2013, and I was dressed up, you know, I had like my leather and, you know, my sexy outfit on, so very much like a dom outfit, and but it was just, you know, I liked it was very rock and roll, and I was spotted by one of the top international dominatrixes in the world, who happens to be based out of LA. Her name is Isabella Sinclair, and she's world renowned. You know, she's been around for about 25 years and has a great reputation. And so she reached out through a mutual friend when she saw that we were friends on Facebook, and said that she had noticed me at the Fetish Film Festival, and would I be interested in training under her. And I was really intrigued by the opportunity. I'd never considered, you know, being a professional dominatrix.
But you had been, this was after I booked you for a scene, right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So I was lifestyle, mm-hmm. you know, in a way. But so I started training under her and reading about the community. And I, later that year, I ended up doing a shoot. It was a boy-girl.
Okay.
And I remember Mike Quasar was directing it. And the last few scenes I'd been doing before that, I had almost been doing like almost like a reverse cuckold and these were just regular, like, you know, a Brazzers scene, that sort of stuff. But it was coming, like, the real, like, bitchy, cunty thing was, like, coming out on set, you know, in my performance, which was hot, but I wasn't feeling like a regular porn performer anymore because you have to be submissive in a way, you know, like, take the load on your face or swallow the cum, you know.
It's the basic premise of porn, that really females are submissive in your what's considered mainstream porn.
Yeah. And I just didn't feel that I could do that anymore. Do it, you know, happily. And I remember the last part of the scene that Quasar was directing. I was and I can't remember the name. It was Madeline's husband,
Will Havoc.
Yeah, I think he was the male in the scene.
Okay.
And he came in the babysitter's mouth, and I was the wife. And she looked at me like as if to do a cum swap. Mm-hmm. And I looked at her, and I was like, nah.
Yeah. It's just like, she's looking at me like, it ain't happening.
Yeah. And I just remember Quasar just dropped his head. Like, and then he just said, cut.
Yeah.
And I was like, that was my last scene. It just kind of clicked like that, you know. And then I actually moved up to Canada for a few years and I was webcamming. And then I started professionally doing sessions as well. And, you know, that was back in 2015. And, you know, through, you know, I just focused, you know, 100% on being a webcam dominatrix. And just slowly the Helly May Hellfire character dropped off. And those fans, you know, either they dropped off or they kind of morphed into fetish fans.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I introduced a lot of them to, you know, the DS aspect of sex, you know, through introducing them to something as simple as doing jerk-off instructions.
Yeah.
And just having that kind of progress to cum eating instructions, to strap-on worship, to forced buy, to cuckolding, you know, just it kind of just sort of goes on its own path depending on the person.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm understanding this here. You did a scene for meanbitches.com, which was the first time that you had done femdom on camera.
Correct.
Then you started training under Isabella Sinclair, and then you started incorporating this into your scenes.
Yeah.
You know, an interesting thing is that if you go back and you look at the most successful female porn stars of all time, a good percentage of them were the ones who incorporated femdom into their scenes without being told to do it. It was just, and that made them stand out because every other performer just basically does what she's told and comes across as submissive.
Mm-hmm.
So you were probably starting to really stand out, but your heart wasn't into it anymore.
I had a lot going on back then. Yeah. So, yeah, and but, you know, without getting into that, but I almost had to move to Canada for a little while. So,
yeah.
But, you know, things just kind of worked out the way that they did. And here I am, you know, 5 years later, and, you know, a professional dominatrix.
And a great professional dominatrix. So what do you specialize in now?
My specialty is sissification.
There you go.
I do a lot of role play. I've got a really creative mind. Forced by, cuckolding, strap-on worship. And forced intox has become very popular as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Forced blasphemy, is that a thing?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I do blasphemy fetish as well. you know, it's a thing, definitely. And it was quite popular last fall, but it seems to be waning now a little bit, and the intox is becoming very popular these days.
So forced blasphemy, for our listeners, is where a religious person wants to be forced to do something that goes against their religious values.
Exactly. Yeah, and I was getting quite a few requests for that a little while back. And mainly, you know, revolves around, you know, the Catholic religion. But I was getting Muslims that were requesting me to speak against Allah, put my feet on the Quran.
Oh, the feet.
Yeah.
And that, you know, culture, the feet is such a huge thing.
Yes, yes. Or, you know, I'll get somebody who's a Hindu and wants to worship my feet, the bottoms of my feet, especially.
Yeah. That's fun.
Mm-hmm.
What about forced politification?
No.
Nobody's doing forced politification with you yet?
Not with me.
So that's where basically a guy in a Trump hat and a MAGA hat and all that stuff wants to be degraded for being a Trump voter.
I haven't even heard of that one yet.
Oh, it's happening. You can see it on Twitter. These Doms talk a lot about, you know, they'll take a staunch Republican or a staunch liberal. I mean, it just, you know, it's all role-playing.
Mm-hmm.
And force him to do things, you know, especially if they can combine forced buy and forced politification into one thing, because, you know, that's part of the Republican platform in a lot of cases, is that they're somewhat anti-gay and...
How interesting.
Yeah, maybe you want to add that to your list of services on the menu.
I
that
do
you
need a new
out.
Trucker hat.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just get yourself... I've seen Doms on Twitter. They will make the guy wear a Trump mask.
Okay.
And then to do degrading things to him.
Oh. How am I, like, missing out on this?
It's, you know, Twitter is a great source. I really miss Tumblr, because I thought Tumblr was so, it was so trendy. Like, one day you'd see that, yeah, forced intoxication is hot now, and all of a sudden all these Tumblr posts would be forced intox.
Yeah.
And then a week later, you'd look at it, and it's like, wow, nobody's talking about that anymore. Now it's all lesdom and cup queen and cupcakes. And, you know, and then a few weeks later, it'd be something else. And it was really easy to keep my fingers on the pulse of the industry. But now without Tumblr, it's not quite as simple. Hopefully, there are sites that are replacing Tumblr that are getting stronger every day. So
I need to get a list of those.
Yeah, and I should contact them and ask them if they want to be sponsors of the show here. Actually,
ooh,
that would
idea.
Be good. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm not giving you guys the names of the ones I know. They're going to have to sponsor us first. Gotta make a living here, damn it. Okay, so you're doing these sessions, you're doing stuff like this. We're going to get into some other things with you. I know you have other things that we want to talk about with mm-hmm. your clothing line, or not clothing line, your cosmetics line as well. We're going to get into that skincare very soon here. I also want you to mention that you're touring right now.
Yes, doing a little mini tour to Los Angeles.
There you go. So you're going to be in L.A. for what dates?
I'm going to be there on April 2nd and 3rd.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm looking at New York City mid-May, dates to be announced.
Okay. So that would be on your Twitter, where you know, you could talk about what cities that you're visiting. And your Twitter again is?
@GoddessHelly.
There you go. All right, well, we're going to talk about some of the other things that she's done in the industry and maybe try to coax a story out of her. But first, I want to talk about, or let's go to a couple of our sponsors. So let's talk about Sext Panther. So Sext Panther is just the coolest damn thing in the world. I'm really delighted to have them on board as a sponsor here, because I've been a big fan and advocate of theirs for a long time. Here's what Sext Panther is. It is essentially a way for you to communicate with all of your favorite porn stars. Back in the old days, you know, you would have to go to a live event to meet a porn star. But now you can just go to sextpanther.com. Let's say sextpanther.com/Christy-Canyon. And then you can send a text to Christy Canyon. And then Christy can send you back a picture, or you can talk to Christy on the phone, or you can get a video sent to you. So it's kind of like pay texting or pay sexting, and that's why they call it Sext Panther. So that's for you. If you're a listener of the show and you want to talk to some of the great, you want to personally connect with some of the great guests that we've had, go to sexpanther.com. You'll find Christina Rose. You'll find Kimberly Chi. You'll find Christy Canyon. And you'll find Ginger Lynn, who was on the show last week. Now, if you're a performer, I also wanted to send this message to you in that you're building your brand. You're getting thousands of followers on Twitter. You're getting thousands of followers on Instagram. You need to figure out how to monetize that big base of followers. Here's what you do. You set up an account on Sex Panther, and then your fans will be able to text you and sext you and call you and talk to you and do all those things with you in control of the situation. You're not going to have to give out your real phone number. They're going to get a number to call or whatever that's not your real number. And you can decide, well, here's when I want to be available. I can turn it on today or tomorrow or whatever, and then I can turn it off. And so it's all up to you how you want to do it. But it allows you to connect with your fans and get paid. So give that a shot. That's sextpanther.com, SextPanther. Not Sex Panther. It's Sext, Sext, panther.com. Check that out.
This is firefighter Raphael Porriette for Firehouse Subs. Introducing new Firehouse Pairs. Pair your favorite small sub with a signature side, like the awesome 5-Cheese Mac and Cheese. And remember, a portion of every purchase at Firehouse Subs goes towards helping first responders. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Participating locations only. Firehouse Subs would donate a minimum of $1 million in 2019 to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation by donating 0.11% of every purchase.
And we're back with Goddess Helly, who has been really an interesting follow so far as we've traced her career, where she started out in webcams and then went into porn and meanwhile had sissified all her boyfriends and then started doing female domination stuff. But you've actually taken your career into another direction recently. Talk to us about your organic cosmetic products.
So I have two companies that I have been running for the last year and a half. The first one is an organic airbrush tanning company, and I have that here in Las Vegas, and I do in-studio and mobile appointments, and some of the local adult performers are clients, so...
Including
Avenatti, Glenn.
There you go. So I'm actually a customer of her mobile tanning service. If you see me in any of my videos and you're wondering how I'm so tan in the middle of the winter time, this is how I'm doing it.
No tan lines.
And no tan lines.
Yeah. So that's a growing company out here, and this is kind of the one of the best places I think in the world to have an airbrush tanning company. Especially with pool party season coming up and all the strip clubs and, you know, all the adult actresses that are moving out here. So,
yeah, if you're a stripper in Vegas or you're a porn star in Vegas, you need to know Goddess Helly over here. So come to your place and spray you, and you'll have no tan lines and you'll be looking hot.
Yeah, and it develops in as little as 1 hour. So if you need to be tanned and you don't have a whole lot of time before you've got to be somewhere, this is the perfect stuff for you.
So what's different about your spray tanning, which is organic, than the stuff that I would be paying if I went to a spray tanning place?
Well, it is organic. It's healthier. It's chemical-free. It's oil-free. So if you've got sensitive skin or lots of allergies, it's not going to... make you have a reaction, and it just looks better. The color is better. It just looks more natural.
It smells a lot less strong,
too. Yeah, and you're not going to walk away smelling like miso soup after. So if you've got an appointment to go to in a couple hours, you need to look tanned right away, you can shower off before you got to go to that appointment.
Okay, so how do they contact you to get this to get their spray tan lined up?
You can actually contact me on Instagram through that, because I've got that airbrush tanning company merged with my skincare line, which is called Apotheca Borealis, And that
you're
is
gonna have to spell that. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's APOTHECABOREALIS. And that is a natural skincare company that I created while I was living in Canada and dealing with a whole bunch of health issues resulting from the last round of breast implants that I had, which I've since taken out, but they caused all kinds of havoc on my body. So one of those things was, you know, it made me really super sensitive to chemicals. So I created this natural skincare line, and it just kind of took off. It was just recently in British Vogue. It's been in the last two issues of that, actually. And it's getting a good following here in Las Vegas, and it already has a good following in Canada. So I'm wearing many hats right now, but they're all fabulous.
So porn star, dominatrix, DJ, and now cosmetic line designer. Talk about what kind of products that you have. I personally have used her aftershave.
Yeah. So they're serums, moisturizers, toners. They all make great gifts for a special somebody in your life. And if you use, it's actually the only skincare line in the world to be made with Saskatoon berries, which are an incredibly potent superfood that nobody's heard of yet. But they are higher in antioxidants than wild blueberries.
You do consultations, right? So in other words, if a performer says she wants to contact you and say, you know, every time I shave, I get a rash down there that looks very unsightly. You would be able to talk to them and say, well, let me help you find the right product for you to put down there.
Yes.
Or,
yeah, make a recommendation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because so many performers end up using products that they get at the store, which then end up with more side effects from the first side effect that they're trying to cure.
Oh, and isn't that just the way it goes with pretty much everything nowadays? That's why I've made the switch to pretty much everything natural.
Yeah.
And you're not just eliminating side effects, but you're gaining so many benefits through using natural products.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So give that a shot. Go check her out. It's Apotheca Borealis.
Yes.
On Instagram. So go hook up with her on Instagram and then, you know, start talking. Start an open dialogue with all the problems that you have in your life that you might be able to solve through natural products and see what Helly can recommend for you. I think you'll be very pleasantly surprised. So let's wrap this up by going to some fun areas here. Talked about, what was your most fun experience on set that you did when you were doing the porn movies?
I had a lot, you know. I mean, my experience in the adult industry was very positive. I mean, I really enjoyed being on the Mean Bitches sets because that was always something that was, you know, different from the norm. I think I remember the first one really well. And you were teaching me, you know, what face-sitting is.
Ah, yes.
It was Femdom Ass Worship. I think it was Femdom Ass Worship 10.
Ah, yeah.
And, yeah. And I remember because Brookhaven was on that set as well as part of your crew.
Yeah, she was my production manager.
She's a good friend of mine. So that was a really fun day.
So she probably contacted you before that day and said, you're going to work for my friend Glenn and told you a little bit about what to expect or no?
I feel like I had just done her radio show just briefly before that as well.
That makes a lot of sense because she would often have somebody come on her show and then say, hey, Glenn, you should really check out so-and-so. She's amazing. And, you know, I spoke to her about being a dom a little bit or whatever.
Yeah. She's great.
Yeah. So, what about your weirdest dom session that you've had then? Because I know when we were doing the cam shows out of my dungeon studio in Los Angeles, I could tell you some crazy stuff of guys wanting to smash their balls with anvils.
Oh,
or wanting
yeah.
to have gay sex while the Dom watches and commands them to do things to each other.
Okay, I have several long-term sissies that mm-hmm. I've had, you know, with me for about going on 6 years, some of them. And sissy relationships can be pretty intense. A lot of the time they will have, you know, wives or girlfriends, fiancés that have no clue that this is what their partner is into. So the fact that they're having, you know, these genuine moments, you know, revealing such a private part of their personality to me can be very bonding. And I have one sissy who is just completely, has a fiance, and he was just completely torn because, like, he was had such strong urges to be a sissy. But he was just in this, you know, committed relationship, and he really, he was almost wanting to get caught. Eventually, I did, you know, help him to come out to his fiance.
Yeah.
And she took to it pretty well, you know. After he came out to her, she bought him a pink chastity cage.
Oh,
and
wow.
She actually is taking on the Dom role.
That's fantastic.
In their household.
So you've really saved their marriage then. You should be very proud of that.
Yeah, they're still together, and that was, you know, probably about 3 years ago at this point. So yeah, it's there's a lot of rewarding things about being a dominatrix.
Didn't you tell me recently that you had a guy that you were trying to hook up with other men? You were going to make him turn gay?
Yes. I have a few guys that are very into the idea of, you know, say, you know, taking a weekend off and me putting them up in some, like, you know, this is the fantasy. They mm-hmm. want to be put up in, like a roach-infested motel
yeah.
in some seedy part of downtown Las Vegas and me to, you know, pimp them out for the entire weekend
yeah.
and just keep them, you know, effed up in the motel, just sucking and fucking all weekend long and just collecting all the money that I get from, like, pimping out their holes. And but that's a very popular fantasy.
Fantasy, and there you go. We're
yeah.
talking fantasies here.
Yeah.
All right, last question for you. What advice would you give for the young Dom that's just getting started out there these days?
I would say find a well-respected mentor. Just don't go into it haphazardly thinking, oh, I know what a Dom does and I know what a Dom says. And because you don't have a lot of experience as a Dom, but there are people out there that have a lot of experience as a sub, and subs can be quite manipulative if you don't know what you're doing. So seek out a good mentor if you're serious and you want to play the, you know, the long term.
Yeah, you can apprentice at, you know, these dungeons
mm-hmm.
for all you ladies out there that are thinking about doing this. It doesn't have to be just going on Twitter and suddenly setting up shop and telling, start demanding guys give you your money, their money. You can actually apply at a dungeon and get a job as a dominatrix.
Yeah, well, you can get, you know, start off assisting at a dungeon.
Yeah.
You know, and that's great. Then you're surrounded by, you know, these strong femdoms, and you can learn so much. And, you know, there's so many different sub-genres of domination. You'll find your role a whole lot easier and quicker.
Absolutely. All right, let's tell people where they can find you, because you have multiple places. So
yes.
You got Twitter.
Yeah, Twitter is at Goddess Helly. Instagram is at Goddess Helly 666. And if you're interested in the spray tanning, organic spray tanning, or the natural skincare line, apothecaborealis.com. And if you want $5 off your first order, add promo code ALCHEMY.
ALCHEMY, that's A-L-C-H-E-M-Y. C-H-E-M-Y.
Yes.
There you go. You also do live cam shows, so people need to go check you out there.
Yeah, if you're interested in a live cam show, message me. You can message me directly at goddesshelly@protonmail.com to set up a Skype show. And if you're already on the StreamMate platform, it's goddesshelly.cammodels.com.
Yeah, also, if you look at my Twitter, GlennKingXXX, I sometimes put up little advertisements for her, so you can go click on that link and sign up and enjoy her shows. Well, there you go. That's a great talk with Goddess Helly. Now, I have a request for you, my listeners, which is, I want you to do me a favor, and that is to go on the podcast, wherever you get the podcast, and subscribe, whether it's iTunes or Google Play or YouTube or Spotify, or Spreaker, or iHeartRadio, or TuneIn, or anywhere else that I don't even know about, hit the subscribe button. I don't even care if you listen to the show. Just subscribe, because that's how we get judged by advertisers and such, is by the number of subscribers. So get on there, especially on iTunes, and get subscribed to the show. So there you go. We thank you so much for listening to another great episode of Let's Talk Adults with Goddess Helly.
This is firefighter Raphael Porriette for Firehouse Subs. Introducing new Firehouse Pairs. Pair your favorite small sub with a signature side, like the awesome 5-Cheese Mac and Cheese. And remember, a portion of every purchase at Firehouse Subs goes towards helping first responders. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Participating locations only. Firehouse Subs would donate a minimum of $1 million in 2019 to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation by donating 0.11% of every purchase. This is firefighter Raphael Porriette for Firehouse Subs. Introducing new Firehouse Pairs. Pair your favorite small sub with a signature side, like the awesome 5-Cheese Mac and Cheese. And remember, a portion of every purchase at Firehouse Subs goes towards helping first responders. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Participating locations only. Firehouse Subs would donate a minimum of $1 million in 2019 to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation by donating 0.11% of every purchase.